Good morning. Happy morning. Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We're in our Bible study in the book of Judges, last chapter. So we're continuing the story that actually started two chapters ago.
Yes.
It is a story in the time of the judges, but not about a judge.
Yeah.
It began with a Levite with a concubine, and already it's an odd story, but as is mentioned several times in this section, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. So here we have a Levite, and the previous story had a Levite, and they are not being the example for the nation.
Are they the same?
They're not the same Levite, no. And if this is a sample of what the Levites were, it
doesn't look good for them.
No, and it doesn't look good for the nation because they're not providing that kind of leadership. So this leader had a concubine. She deserted him, went back to dad. He went to fetch her. That went well. And on the way back, it's late in the day.
But did it really go well? I mean, he went back to fetch her, but dad didn't really want to let her go either.
Well, he didn't want to let the Levite leave right away, so we're not sure of the motivation.
Yeah.
But in any case, on the way back, they stop. It's getting late, and they stop at the town of Gibeah, which is in the tribe of Benjamin. And they go to the center area where they might be picked up for hospitality, shelter. And none of the locals picked them up, and an old man finally sees them and says, you can't stay here, come home. And they're having a good meal, but then a mob of perverted men come and demand that the old man give him the Levite, because they want to have sex with him. And so it ends up the Levite throws out his
concubine,
and he goes to sleep. And they have their way with him.
They were her.
Yes. These days in America, it's convenient.
Yeah.
And she is about on the point of death when she crawls back to the house, and he gets up and he takes her body home and carves her up and sends her FedEx to each of the tribes and with a message. And so an army comes. They are outraged that such a thing would happen. And they give a message to the tribe of Benjamin. Give up these perverted men. And the tribe was not interested in cooperation. So the civil war. It went well for Benjamin at first, and then almost extinction. Let's pick it up from the end of chapter 20. Verse 46, so all who fell of Benjamin that day were 25,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, and they stayed at the rock of Rimmon for 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword from every city, men and beast, all who were found. They also set fire to all the cities they came to. So that's where we left off last week. Benjamin as a tribe is almost exterminated. So we come to chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife. Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass? in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel. So it was on the next day that the people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So we start off with Israel swore an oath. First mention of an oath in the Bible. So have you ever made an oath or a vow or a sacred promise?
Does marriage count?
Yes. That's the first one I thought of too. Mm. And I said, and that one worked out well for me. Mm-hmm. It is good to have not just a casual acquaintance with a woman, but to have a vow that's saying we're going to dedicate our lives to each other from now till death.
Well, it's, you know, there's been, when it said, have you been glad or sorry, there's both and all kinds of other feelings. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, when things aren't going well, people aren't not communicating as well as we should and things like that, it you know, there's high and low, but I think if it was perfectly flat, there'd be something wrong, I guess you'd say, because I think even in the best marriages, there's, you know, disagreements and things.
Well, besides that one, any other oath or vow you've taken?
My work actually had to take an oath, you know, to, you know, serve the customers, to which is the public, which, because it's a public agency, to, you know, we were actually civil defense.
Was that being a signed one?
Yeah, it actually did have to sign saying these are the things that, mm-hmm, I promised to do. So, yeah, I had to sign it. It was 34 years of employment. It allowed me, you know, in the Bay Area in the 80s and 90s to be able to buy a house on a single income. So that was, you know, tough because, you know, so my wife was able to be home with the kids growing up. But I now have a very comfortable retirement also. So that was a good oath to take and keep.
Anyone else?
One that I'm not so fond of was when I joined a fraternity in college.
What kind of vow or oath was there?
Well, it was ceremonial. I don't remember the details in terms of what words were said, but loyalty to the fraternity.
I know sometimes people make a vow that they wish they hadn't, wish they weren't pressured into doing so. I have a friend who, when he graduated from LIFE Bible College as a ministerial degree, then he had to make an oath that included things like you will always wear a coat and tie behind the pulpit, mm-hmm, and you will never have anybody besides four square people ministering at your church. Mm. Well, times change, you know, but you got the oath. This was before God. How do you deal with an oath that you made? Do you go back and say, well, I really didn't mean it, and I wish they hadn't pressured me? Mm. It's a complicated thing. And one of the aspects of this story is they have made an oath that is really going to get in the way. And rather than try to deal with, you know, between them and God, we shouldn't have done this, we shouldn't have done this, like that, then it's more like, well, how do we work around this? And we're going to find some fixed actions to try to work around this, mm-hmm, thing, and it's going to be kind of strange.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two questions. First, would it be reasonable to say that the difference between an oath and a vow and a covenant would be that they're one-sided?
I'm not sure. I thought about going into the differences, and I thought, well, it's not really going to be advance the lesson that much. Later on, we're going to have a vow. In fact, it's a, what do they call it, a great vow, and this one's an oath. What's the difference? I'm not sure it's that important.
Well, a vow is kind of like, it is one-sided. It's like this side vows to do this. Mm-hmm. With a covenant, it's an agreement between multiple parties. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, an oath implies a penalty. If I don't do this, then this will happen to me. And if it's an oath before God, then you're saying, strike me down if I don't do this. And it's, I think Jesus said, better not to make the oath. Yes. Just yes, no. Mm-hmm. And don't get involved in these, oaths.
What about Jephthah?
Jephthah, that's a good example, because he had vowed to sacrifice whatever came out of his house when he came back from victory. God, if you give me this victory over whoever they were, then I will...
The first living creature that comes out of the house, I will sacrifice to
you. Yeah, it turned out to be his daughter. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he wasn't going to admit that he made a mistake, so she dies.
You said this is the first...
This is the first oath. That was a vow.
Okay.
So we have an oath and a vow. I don't want to get too much in the weeds on that.
And in all likelihood, this took place before that.
Okay.
In timeline. This.
Coffee and tea. You can sit down there or you can sit up here. There's papers up here.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry to take a look.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good questions.
Almost didn't recognize that guy.
Yeah. So why was one tribe missing? It says, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel? Why was one tribe missing?
Well, because they were on the outs. they were the reason they all came together, because the tribe of Benjamin was taking care of, was taking care of their own against the rest of their brothers, but they are totally wiped. There's still a remnant of the tribe of Benjamin.
So Benjamin is at fault for tolerating and defending great evil.
Yep.
So that's part of the problem. The other problem is that at the point of victory, the tribes, kept going and wiped out everybody. Men, women, children, and burned down all the cities. Why?
This was like a cleansing.
Yes.
Because they had, because of this wicked thing that had happened that was just deplorable, that a tribe of Israel would do such a thing. And so this became more like a holy cleansing. Let's wipe out everybody of the tribe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so those are a couple of reasons why, but they're not talking about those reasons. What do they talk about? They just say, why has this happened? Kind of a passive voice here.
Yeah.
And they're asking God, like, why did you let this happen?
Yeah, like it's God's fault.
Yes.
There was fault on both sides. Benjamin's for being so strong-willed and not wanting to admit that some of their people were bad and need to be punished. But also, the rest of the tribes were at fault for not realizing what making their vow was in considering the long-term effects of their vow.
Well, this is consistent with these stories.
But we haven't got to the vow yet. At this point, they're just asking the question, why is it that Benjamin is nearly exterminated?
Yeah. Well, but
I think God looks back down. Would you look at your swords? At
blood? Really? Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's on
what
the
do you mean,
this?
How did it happen?
Yeah, and it's like, you didn't ask me about this. You decided, you came to me with, how do we do it? But you decided you were going to do this. You didn't talk to me about this. But the thing about it is this is consistent with these stories. No one's right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another story where everybody's messed up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And once in a while you find a good thing, like wanting to keep a vow. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But most of it is, how can this happen?
Yeah. The other part of the answer to your question is this, is that they're mourning the loss of, now all of a sudden it's like, we've lost a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all of Jacob's tribes, now.
They don't seem to be mourning the people they killed.
No.
They're mourning the...
Yeah. We don't have all 12 tribes.
Yes. So we feel bad about the situation.
Yeah, right.
But we're not going to admit that we did it.
Yeah.
And that's not an uncommon human reaction.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So we talked about whose fault was it, and but whose fault are they implying it is. So they grieved.
Mm-hmm.
5-8, I want to read that.
Then the sons of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up in the assembly to the Lord? For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, 'He shall surely be put to death.' The sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, 'One tribe is cut off from us, cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?'"
So question 3 is, have you ever grieved too late? I mean, they're grieving for their brother Benjamin, but wouldn't it have been better to grieve before you killed Benjamin?
that would imply thinking it through first,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. So after
we're
the
good
fact,
about
yeah.
that.
Well, I mean, how many times have we, on an individual basis, had somebody that we care about that we're mad because they hung up on us and wouldn't let us finish talking, so we're not going to talk to them for 6 weeks, and then something tragic happens to them.
Yes.
And we can't, you know, have a chance to go out to dinner with them one last time, but, you know, chose to do something else.
I wish I'd been a bit better brother to my sister before she took her life. Wish I'd been a better son to my dad. You know, well, that's decades late. That's a bit late to grieve, mm-hmm. but yeah, sometimes you have to mm-hmm. grieve anyway. But
yeah,
it's better to think about it at the time, and they didn't.
You know, the other thing too is, and we kind of I think we mentioned this last week too, is that the people of this time, here, they are more reactionary people, and so thinking it through first and then acting wasn't really. They were more. More used to reacting first and asking questions later.
But I think part of the reason this is in the chapter is because it's us too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
It's written for our examples. And
mm-hmm. well,
if we don't see ourselves in here, then we're not learning.
That's right. That's right.
Not that we've done anything exactly like this. But yes.
Well, I mean, this when people say, "Well, you know, I can't believe in God. I can't believe in Jesus because he doesn't know the things I've gone through."
Yes.
You know, how he didn't have... Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, Jesus is back here at this time. He knows what it's like to lose loved ones and make bad decisions all the way through. He's experienced every feeling and emotion that we have at some degree or another. He knows what we've gone through. He knows what we need healing from, what we need forgiveness from.
Mm-hmm.
But he still chose to give his life for us.
So they've offered burnt offerings, peace offerings, and then how do they deal with their grief?
They're going to go out and repeat the mistake.
Well, they're going to try to fix things, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So what did they plan? What was their fix action?
Their fix was, well, who didn't go out with us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's identify them and let's go wipe them out now.
Yes.
After, as we're grieving about wiping out a group over here, let's go do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like, just like, okay, did you guys not learn anything? It's like, you know. It's,
well, that's where I realized mine has the break in between 7 and 8 where you had it. I was supposed to read verse 8. And verse 8 says, "And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah? And behold, no one came from the camp of Jabesh Gilead to the assembly."
Keep reading.
"For when the people were numbered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. And the congregation sent 12,000 of the valiant warriors there and commanded them, saying, 'Go, strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the little ones. This is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every man, every woman who is laying with a man.' And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan."
I mean, they repeat.
Or do you have to go at 3:14?
They repeat the same thing. They don't even ask God about this.
They don't ask God. They don't ask they don't ask Jabesh Gilead either.
No, they just.
Now, you remember when they went to, before they went to war with Benjamin, they talked to Benjamin.
Yeah.
To the tribe.
They did, yeah.
And said, this has happened. Give up those men. That didn't work out, but at least they talked to them.
True.
And actually, the war didn't go until Benjamin was ready to fight back.
Yeah.
But here, nothing.
Nothing.
Now, is Jabesh Gilead, what tribe are they of?
Gad.
They're
not Manasseh?
Well, in terms of where they think Jabesh Gilead was, it's more strongly in Gad. But commentators talk about Manasseh and Reuben too. But if you look on the map where they think it is, it's really strongly in Gad.
And it gets confusing too, because by now the east part of the of Israel on the other side,
Transjordan,
is called by the generic name Gilead.
Yeah.
Well, so this isn't Gilead, but it's still Israel. Yes.
But wouldn't you think? It says, okay, which tribe? So part of their tribe, so this is one encampment of the tribe, didn't go send anybody. Mm-hmm. So they expected at least a few people from every city to send a couple people to go, is what it sounds like. It's like, wait, Jabesh Gilead.
How they picked those valiant warriors to go take care of this slaughter, I don't know.
No, I mean, but to before that, because if Jabesh Gilead didn't send anybody, it's like, so, had they had one person from Jabesh Gilead show up, then
it would have been different.
It would have been different.
Yes.
So person from this town didn't show up.
And so, what's their story? They didn't get the word. They didn't want to attack their brother. I mean, we don't know. They don't know. They just know that they have a perfect setup, as if God provided them this solution. We have this problem, and we come up with a solution, and it works out so well because they didn't come to the assembly to make this vow. And we got this other vow that says we have to destroy anybody who didn't come, and so then they won't be. They can give their daughters, it all works out because their daughters are eligible because their parents didn't get their dads didn't give this vow, and they didn't come, so everything works out. They're eligible women, and we can wipe them out. And this is our excuse.
Yeah.
And we're saying this makes sense.
No. But here's the other thing about this is you've had all this chain of events, and there's a lot of emotion with these things, and the emotions are one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. You have this question here about digging a hole. The hole is going deeper and deeper and deeper, but there's one thing on top of another, and so you've got people that are a reactionary people anyway. And so you just keep throwing more logs on that fire, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to get more rational. They're going to be more impulsive.
They're reactionary because there's been this horrible thing.
Yes.
Benjamin resisted. Benjamin won, and they lost 40,000 of their own men.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they're reactionary.
They're upset.
Yes.
And so bad time to be making decisions, especially if you're a reactionary kind of people.
It does bring back to mind the most common verse to me in Judges. They all did what was right
in their own eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because very easily they could have sent the 12,000 men going, okay, you guys didn't show up. We need all of your virgins so that, because there's still a few Benjaminites left and we didn't want to annihilate them, send out all your daughters that have not lain with a man and send them with us.
Because you weren't part of the vow.
So you weren't part of the vow. So that's part of it. Or we're going to kill you.
Well,
they could have done it, but no, they said, we're going to kill you, now we're going to take...
Yes.
The thing, though, is that would have created a lasting, lasting resentment. And then the question is, what about Jabesh Gilead having women for their own men?
Well, they still have their men. Their men have women already.
Once you start digging the hole, you got a mess. And it's just going to get worse and worse.
And that's what happens here.
Hopefully they can tunnel off to the side and find a way out of their hole.
No!
I don't think they did.
No.
Jim, 13 and 14?
Okay. Then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin who were at the Rock of Rimmon and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead, and yet they had not found enough for them.
Uh-oh.
Come up short.
Yeah. Roughly 600 men.
Must be the
400. 400 brides.
Yeah. 400 brides, 600 guys. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's see. Even in my highly emotional state, I realize I've got a math problem here.
Yes.
Okay. So what are we missing?
Why is it always called a math problem?
Because it is a math problem.
Yeah. Well,
it's universal. It's no matter what language, math is math.
When you put 400 against 600, something's going to come up short.
I was just defending my...
And the people grieve for Benjamin. I'm in 15. Grieve for Benjamin because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. Aha, now we're getting specific, aren't we? It's the Lord. Yeah.
The Lord did it, so they're blaming somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for the wives for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed?" Men are good for coming up with fixed action, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I can fix that. I can deal with this.
Yeah, it's like, they're good at coming up with it. Does it always work? Well, that's, you know.
Yeah. So, and they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin. Yes, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. Actually, 400 would have been enough.
Mm.
Okay, but they need to feel good about themselves. However, now really...
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Now, one of the other options they might have thought of is, well, let them go to...
Moab.
Yes.
And
They're not Canaanite, but they're Moabite.
Well, they're Moabite, yeah.
But they're not. So at least this is a good thing. They need Israeli wives. Mm. They need genuine Hebrew wives, not Moabite. They wouldn't want to be like Chilion and Mahlon, right?
Yeah. However,
and you ought to be saying who?
Yeah. But again, there's this vow at the beginning of the chapter about, we will not, have our women get involved with people from Benjamin who have done this wicked thing.
Voluntarily.
Who's Chilion and Mahlon?
Mm.
Ruth's?
That is...
We're into the next week.
Yeah, that's
into the
next
book of Ruth.
Yeah.
And, sons of Elimelech marry Moabite women.
Yeah, Naomi's.
Yes, yeah. And that's another story. But, that was one of the problems going to Moab and getting wives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something they did right. They didn't want this...
They didn't want to have an early Samaritan, in a way. I mean, it would be a few thousand years earlier, but that would be... Stereotype deal.
This is one of the plus things. Yeah. They don't want them going outside of Israel.
Yeah. But this is like a plus in a sea of minuses. It's still messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a hit in a sea of
misses. Yeah. Uh huh.
So who caused Israel's grieving in their eyes?
God did
in their eyes. It was them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that was a good point you made. How many times we blame God for something that's our fault?
Yes. Well, and anybody have a story about doing that?
Sorry.
How many times?
Yes. And it comes in various ways, too.
Sure does.
Well, God told me to do this. Oh, it's God's fault.
Well, there's Sarah after Hagar got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, it's like, okay, you can say, how many times do we blame God, and how often do we give the devil credit?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So many times I know it's like, well, the devil made me do it. Mm-hmm. No, you chose to do it. And the devil's going, I'll take it. I'll take all the credit. I had nothing to do with that one, but I'll take the credit.
Yeah.
I've been around a while in the church, and how many times have I heard things like, well, must have been God's will, and God hadn't made this happen. How can you know that?
Well, we don't know if this God's...
To make yourself feel good about this, you're going to blame God. I'm not sure that's the right,
yeah,
you know, the most healthy attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, and to say it's got, you know, it's God's will, it's like people confuse for God to work all things together for good for those who believe with what's his will. He is not necessarily his will, but he's going to take what we've screwed up and he's going to make it right. He'll make something good out of it. But that doesn't mean it was his will.
And life is complicated. Knowing the will of God, you know, it's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing.
But one thing for sure, they're not taking the best path here.
Right.
Yeah.
Where'd we leave off? What factors led to Israel's remedial action? I talked about those, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they found it. You know, I look as they found a scapegoat. They found a way out. Okay, mm-hmm. we're gonna gather up women. Okay, these people didn't show up. They didn't make the vow, so we're gonna take those. It's like, oh, we're short. Now what do we do? Oh, I believe it comes up later. It's like when they go out. You know, we're gonna find a way to pass the blame onto somebody else to gather up the rest of the women.
It's let's see, where we go. I forgot where we stopped.
15, basically, but we cannot give it to the wise, cursed is he who gives wise. So,
I think you're at 15. You're at 15, I think.
The children of 16, the children of the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed?" There's that passive thing. Mm-hmm. They have been destroyed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not we destroyed them.
Yes. Yes.
And they said, "There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives for our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the one who gives a wife to Benjamin.'" Second time this has come up.
Mm-hmm.
"Then they said, 'In fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Lebanon." Oh, I mean, they got all the details worked out here, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
What a tangled web we weave.
Oh, yeah. "Therefore, they instructed the children of Benjamin," that is these 600, "saying, 'Go lie in wait in the vineyards and watch, and just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh. Then go to the land of Benjamin.'" Then, let's see, one more. "Then it will be, when their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain, that we will say to them, 'Be kind to them for our sakes, because we did not take a wife for any of them in the war, for it is not as though you were given the women to them at this time, making yourself guilty of the oath.'"
So
no wonder so many Jews become lawyers.
No.
This is convoluted.
Well, this is kidnapping.
Yeah.
But so is Shiloh not part of the vow?
Yes.
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 But so Shiloh can't give their daughters. Now,
I don't know, but my thinking is if you guys came through as the leadership and said, "Okay, send them out there," they might not come back. I'm sorry, my daughter's not going to dance that day.
Now, yeah, if you'd known about it.
But how did they not?
So, yeah. So the elders are talking this, and I mean, how secret is this?
Yeah, this is the elders.
Do the people of Shiloh, did they get secret word? There's some unknowns here, but on the face of it, nobody knows except those in on the plot.
Yeah.
Is this the way to do your romancing?
It's so bad. It's just so bad.
Is this a way to attract a wife? Just
no.
Grab her.
So mind all the
kidnappings
in Nigeria that the Muslims do.
Yeah, and the irony of this, they're in this situation because they killed, so they kill more in the first action, and they steal women in both these things to be wives.
Yeah.
And this is over the original sin of seizing the the poor wife
of the Levite,
the Levite's concubine, taking her by force and having sex with her, and abusing her, and they're going to take women by force,
right,
and make them wives, which for the purpose of having sex with them and children.
And this is all in a twisted attempt to honor an oath. So let's commit crimes to keep the oath. It's like
yes.
and let's turn our back to all these other promises that we made to keep the oath. It's like it's so broken, and it just keeps breaking.
It's like here we are on Easter, and we're seeing oh so many reasons we need Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. One question you might have is what feast that they're going to, what festival? Perform the dances, and people have guessed, well, this might have something to do with the feast of first fruits anyway. It doesn't say, and perhaps it's not even one of the commanded
ones.
Right. It could be a Canaanite festival.
Uh-huh, right.
For instance, here in the church, we celebrate Mother's Day and Independence Day, Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that, but they're not.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Yeah. If this is a Canaanite celebration, then what are they doing being involved in a Canaanite celebration? Oh, we've broken another agreement that we've made to not be like them, and you know,
so that's
like,
the payback for you celebrated an ill-gotten holiday, so we're going to kidnap you.
Or it could be a hybrid, part Hebrew and part local developed, Christmas and Easter. You know, they're Christian. Well, the origins are kind of in question, and a lot of the features on them.
Yeah.
For instance, can you imagine on the Jesus saying, hide eggs and tell your children a magic bunny, put them there. This do in remembrance of me.
Yeah, that's weird. I never
understood how we get the correlation with eggs and bunnies, because bunnies don't lay eggs, you know, and it's like, I don't understand. Who wrote that one?
The bunnies don't lay the eggs, they just hide the eggs.
Yes.
What are they doing with eggs?
Mm-hmm.
They're hiding them.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we really don't know, and having young ladies dancing in the vineyards, what's this about? No idea. But they know it's happening, and they're going to take advantage of it. And they're going to have the women taken.
You know, the one good caveat to this is there are 600 men. The men aren't going to have multiple wives. The chance of a man having four wives is greatly reduced because there's 600 men. I got to make sure my three brothers each get a wife, so I can't have four. I'll only have one, and you guys get the other. So at least they're getting that right. It's a one-to-one ratio.
And they've got a whole tribe to grow. So these are going to be leaders in the tribe. I know the cities are burned down, but they can rebuild. And
they'll say they went back and rebuilt.
Yeah. So. And maybe for many of the wives or the women who were taken, this doesn't come out bad, because if they had stayed at home, their parents would have had them marry Bubba down the street, and they weren't looking forward to that. So maybe this is better. Well, okay, some of them may come out better. I mean,
you're
but of course,
some percentage of them that are just very, very pissed off wives at the very beginning of the marriage.
This is not good.
Yeah.
Especially the 400. Okay, you killed my little brother, my sister, my aunts, uncles, my parents, my brother. I mean, they're all dead. My whole village is dead. And you want me to be happy with this man? No.
Mm-hmm. You're just there to make
And then here with this one here that we're talking about now, you've got, when their fathers and their brothers come to complain to us, and so when they're complaining, it's like, you know what? Don't get mad, you know. It's like, accept it for this reason, and it's like, no. It's basically it's like saying, okay, you're upset. Oh, forget about it.
It's like,
you know,
it's like the kid that finally fights back to the bully at school, And, oh, but, you know, the bully made one mistake, and you don't want to ruin his whole life for this one, you know, thing.
But the things we come up with.
But
yeah.
that's what
to
you know,
justify
legal system
our
does.
Bad decisions.
This boy has his whole life set us, you know, in front of him, and he made one indiscretion. And then it finds out afterwards that he's been doing it, you know, every year for the last umpteen years, but this is the first time he's gotten caught.
So, in the church, too, something horrible happened.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's God's will, or maybe there was sin in your family, or and just the stupid things people come up with.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's crazy.
And this is, what's the purpose in here? They're going to, the oath is before God, or the vow is before God, and so we have to satisfy God about this thing, theoretically, and God doesn't realize that we're tricking him. isn't that what it's about? He doesn't realize that these, they're not being given, so it's technically all right, but we're sort of planning it.
Yeah.
I remember John Wimber told about a wife that he was counseling, and it turned out that she wanted to get out of the marriage, but she had the vow, and she's in church, and she can't just leave. So she arranges for her best friend to keep bumping into her husband. So that they
maybe
have
some infidelity,
and now she has a reason.
Now she's
come
got
out.
It now, yeah.
And Wimber says, "Woman, have you no fear of God?"
Yeah, really.
And here it is again, in Israel. Have you no fear of God? Do you not know? Do you think that He doesn't know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're breaking your vow, and you're. You're telling yourself you didn't break your vow.
Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah. All done in the name of we must have all 12 tribes.
Yes. So we have the overall good thing, but the plan to get there is horrible.
It's terrible.
And really all of this goes back to not doing what they were supposed to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't some of this come about because Jerusalem was inhabited by the Jebusites?
Yeah.
That's part of it. If Benjamin had taken and kept Jerusalem like they were supposed to,
mm-hmm.
then the Levite mm-hmm. wouldn't have gone on to there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the if Benjamin and Gibeah had dealt with these wicked men and said, "No, this isn't right," but no, we don't want to judge. And we don't want to say something.
We might hurt their feeling.
And we don't want to be called haters. And
you know, that's my, you know, one of those guys is my sister-in-law's second cousin twice removed. So I don't want them being mad at me that I put them out there.
That's right. So these matters aren't dealt with. And you say, well, it didn't hurt anybody. Yeah, but
there was that one woman. You want
lots of had a lot of people die here. And all this mess here. But in the end, what happens? So, 20, did I get?
The sons of Benjamin did so. 23, sons of Benjamin did so
mm-hmm.
and took wives according to their number from those who danced, whom they carried away. They went, returned to their inheritance, rebuilt the cities, and lived in them. The sons of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and each one of them went out from there to his inheritance.
And what's the last line?
Go for it.
In those days there was no king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes.
What a way to end the book.
So, happily ever after. They came up with fixed actions to basically fix what God messed up. And they go home because it worked. We took care of the sin with Benjamin. We took care of rebuilding Benjamin. Everything is fine. We'll go home. It's all well. So what did Israel learn?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely
they can get away
nothing.
With, no, they can get away with anything.
That is dangerous.
We got away with this.
They didn't think of it that way.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I would agree. Yeah, they didn't learn anything.
They came up with fixed actions and they worked and they went home and learned nothing.
Well, you know what? You can almost reword this to this. Verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what they justified in their own eyes.
Oh, yes.
Rationalize.
Yeah. It's terrible. And the thing about it is all this stuff is consequences for actions that go way back. If this wouldn't happen if they hadn't done this, they hadn't done this, they hadn't done this, they hadn't done this.
So what do we learn? Because the situation in America...
There are consequences.
Wait a minute. This is not the America I remember. Or maybe I had my eyes closed.
Really.
Immorality just keeps getting pushed. And
it's just horrible.
And it's normalized. And if you object, then you're a hater. And so what's going to happen? We need God to...
yeah.
We need God in this country.
Yeah.
But as long as we keep... putting on our blinders and just living with it, it's setting up for disaster.
Yeah,
I mean the people that are may not be of the alternative lifestyles or but they support. I've got to love them. I can't speak out against them. It's like nobody is forcing your child to go to this book reading by this person.
Well, I got to finish anyway.
But that's, it's like, wait a minute, that's wrong.
So we need to learn things that we justify in our own minds.
Right.
And things that our church or other churches or our state or government.
Right.
And see, this is the way we are. And God help us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my prayer. Yeah. God help us.
Yes.
That we do learn from this.
Yes.
And that we desperately need Jesus in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We need salvation. We need to follow the Holy Spirit and not be like these men, which are effectively Christian atheists. But we need to have God as a practical part of our lives, just not enough to feel good, but really in our lives. I ask for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, Ruth.